man. Everybody remember that last week? Who was here last week? You were here last week. You'll remember we talked about that, particularly at the end of my talk I was giving. And this was based on a word given to us, kind of prophetic. I think it was 2016, actually, 2017, 2016. So quite a while ago now, actually. By Martin Scott, a man called Martin Scott, and he came here and he gave this word here. And there was a group of us, there were some people up from down from Cheshire as well. So some of what he said applied to them, but generally most of it, because he was here, it was to us, you know, and to Shrewsbury too. And it was very encouraging, and we've sort of revisited this because we feel it's important to do that. Because it gives direction to us, okay? Gives us direction about where we're going and what we're here for. So this morning I'm going to talk about a little bit about that, not for very long, I don't think. I think I've got about 6 slides, and there's more after that, but I thought, well, I'd leave that because I don't want to give you too much in one day. Man or woman can only cope with so much in one morning. So so the storehouse mandate, there it is. I might actually start, well, I'm going to start talking about John the Baptist first, because that was included in this prophetic word, you see. John the Baptist. So I think what I'll do is I'll go to John the Baptist first. I'll just say a little bit about him. Okay, what do we know about John the Baptist? Well, anybody want to tell me anything they know about John the Baptist?
His name was John.
He ate locusts and wild honey.
That's interesting. And wild honey. That's right. I don't know. I don't mind the wild honey. No, I don't mind the honey bit.
Is it wild locusts and honey? I always get those two.
Yes. Yeah. Well, maybe the honey was wild as well. Yeah. It's out there somewhere, and it's made by the bees. So I'd go for the honey, but I don't know about the wild locusts.
Yeah.
And he wore a leather belt, I think, didn't he? That's right, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's funny what sticks out to people, isn't it? You know, in the memory and so on, and what they wrote about him. And it says that he was out in the wilderness, you know, which I suppose is a bit like the desert, isn't it? He was out there in the wilderness. But he had this specific calling. You know, people went to him and they said, who are you? Are you the Son of God, the Messiah that we're expecting? You know, and he said, no, I'm not important because I'm not worthy of... There's one coming whose sandals I'm not worthy to undo or untie, you know, the thong of his sandals. You know, so basically he was saying I'm nothing, you know, being humble and so on. But he was heralding, if you like, the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. That was his job, you know, getting people to come in, to him for baptism, because he was there to baptize, for people to repent from their sin. And different types of people came to him, interestingly. They'd heard about, you know, that he was preparing the way, basically, and they had to go out there in the wilderness for him to baptize them in the Jordan. And what types of people came to him? Well, he had the religious people, the Pharisees, the religious leaders. In fact, he called them, what did he call them? Anybody know what he called the Pharisees?
Brood of vipers.
A brood of vipers. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a spiritual person, somebody today, a Christian, maybe he's a preacher or something, calling religious people a brood of vipers? You know, these were well-educated, probably well-respected people who represented Judah or Israel, you know, at the time. And he was calling them a brood of vipers, because they had to recognise their own sin, yeah, and that their need for the kingdom of God to come. Yeah. Also, tax collectors and sinners came to him as they came to Jesus, and you know they said, "What must we do to prepare ourselves for the kingdom of God?" Well, don't take too much money from people, like the tax collectors did in those days. You know, keep it for yourself. Be fair with what you take. So they were amongst the people. And John the Baptist, he was actually out in the wilderness, wasn't he? And I thought about this, you know, it was a man of God out in the wilderness. what does the wilderness represent these days? You know, he wasn't in any, he wasn't in a church, he wasn't in a temple, or he wasn't in a religious place. He was out there in the wilderness. And people went there to get baptized and to repent and so on. And the wilderness, I mean, people are here today, people are spiritually today are in a wilderness. Yeah. Sometimes even as Christians, as believers, we might feel that we are in a wilderness. But as long as we've got Jesus with us and within us, then we can walk through that wilderness no matter what. Okay? Whether we're in a good place or not such a good place, geographically or whatever, or you know, circumstances can seem like a wilderness. It can seem between things, and you're not sure where you're going or what you're doing. But if you've got Jesus, then you've got the light of the world, haven't you? And so we've got his peace, basically. So John the Baptist was out there in the wilderness, interestingly, you know, eating these wild locusts and honey. I'm going to go first. I think I'll go to the 5th slide first, actually. There you are. And then I'll go back to the other slide. So Isaiah 40, verse 3 to 5, talks about John the Baptist as a voice. This is Isaiah. How many years before? 500, 400 years before Jesus came. Okay, before 400-500 years before John the Baptist appeared. And this was the prophecy. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Calling. Calling isn't such an important word, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, God called you and I. And John the Baptist was one calling people to repentance and to baptism in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert, because he was in the wilderness, a highway, a road for for our God. We've made a road for our God, haven't we, in our lives? Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. Things are going to be turned around a bit. And changed, yeah. The rough ground shall become level. I like that. Because the Lord makes our ground level. Yeah. I mean, you can apply that to our lives, our Christian walk today. He makes the rough ground level. It might be rough, but with him, we know his peace and his level. The rugged places are plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. That's the kingdom of God coming. And all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Yeah. Yes. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And then we go to Luke 3:16-18. John answered them all. So we're going forward to the New Testament there, at the beginning of Luke, the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. John answered them all, I baptize you with water. This is what I mentioned earlier. But one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. Mentioned that, didn't I? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Anybody here been baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Isn't it good to know that he baptizes you, fills you? Because John baptized with water. And we get baptized with water as well, but he will baptize you. Jesus also baptizes you with the fire and with the Spirit. Yeah, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And fire, what does that mean? Wow, that's power, isn't it? And fire means gets rid of all the junk in your life. The fire of the Spirit. There's an aspect of the Holy Spirit that's like that. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. That's like a harvest of souls. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So anything that's not wanted, the rubbish, it will be burned with unquenchable fire. I've heard that expression before, unquenchable fire. Fire that doesn't go out. There's a mention of fire there again. No. Mm. Okay. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. So it was good news. John the Baptist's job. It was to proclaim good news and the call to repentance and to baptism. And to point, there's that song that we sing, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's what he said when he saw Jesus coming to be baptized. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, the sacrificial lamb, the lamb without blemish, who takes away the sin of the world." And that was John the Baptist's job. You know, that was his function. And that's what he had to concentrate on doing. Okay? Later on, he was in prison. We know the story. Well, maybe you don't know the story, but I won't go into great detail about it, except to say that he was put in prison, something to do with Herodias, his daughter. She did a dance in front of King Herod, and King Herod said, "Give it anything, I'll give you anything you want." You know. And then she went to her mother and said, "What shall I ask for?" And the mother said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter." Terrible, wasn't it? And so that's what happened to John in the end. But his job had been done, okay? In prison, I think he said, while he was still imprisoned, because Herod didn't want to kill him, it was just this request that made him do it, so he could save face. But John sent a message to Jesus saying, "Are you the one we are expecting, or should we expect somebody else?" Because if he hadn't been the one that they were expecting, then John the Baptist would have to get out there again and continue his job. But the job had been done. He pointed the way to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Look, the miracle, people are being healed. Miracles are happening." Mm-hmm. So you've done your work, you know. So that's John the Baptist. And so we're just going to look at a few things that this prophetic word gave to us. So I'm going to go back to the first or second slide. So there it is, the storehouse mandate. I've personalised it, sort of churchified it for us. Okay. And this is part of what he said. Okay, I've put together some of the things, because it'd be too long if I put it all together to read. Okay, you can read that at your leisure when you want, actually, the whole thing. But this is just what some of the main points. The first thing, there is a calling on Storehouse Shropshire to stand as John the Baptist did, which is knowing who you are. That's important, isn't it? To know, first we need to know who we are in Christ. And we've got some good encouraging verses to, you know, to proclaim who we are in Christ. So is knowing who you are, but you're not going to defend, try and prove who you are. Well, that's a relief to not have to prove who you are. You're not here to discuss who you are. In other words, who we are in ourselves is not important. Who we are in Christ is more important, of course. But as a church, God has called you here to open up Shrewsbury. Shall I pause there for a minute? that's quite a mandate, isn't it? Mm-hmm. To open up Shrewsbury. Not just Bayston Hill, but to open up Shrewsbury. To open Shrewsbury up for God to come. So it's like John the Baptist, really, in a sense. Yeah, opening up. For the kingdom. It's a word for the wider church, obviously, absolutely, but there's going to be a sharp end to it, and that has to be deposited somewhere. So as a corporate identity, you need to know who you are, don't we? As a corporate identity. Church, a corporate, sounds like a business, doesn't it? Mm. But a corporate identity, a body, basically, a body that knows its own identity, the body of Christ. There's going to be a sharp end to it. And I think Ursula was praying this morning and talking about arrows. If there's a sharp end, it tends to pierce and have an effect, doesn't it, on something that it hits. Okay. So there's going to be a sharp end to it, and that has to be deposited somewhere, i.e. Storehouse Shrewsbury. Storehouse Shropshire. So as a corporate identity, you need to know who you are. I have to know... Sorry, next one. Yeah. Sorry, yes, I forgot to go on to that one. Just read that. Okay. Next one. So I have to know what my priority is. I want to be answerable to God. That goes for all of us, yeah? At the church. We can say, so that, you know, at the end of our work, if you like, the mandate that God has given us, we can say, I want to be answerable to God. God, at least, so we can say, God, at least I picked up the one thing you gave me to do, and I'm running with it. The one thing you gave me to do. That is so important. Other people might say, it's not very much. We might say that, even. But that's irrelevant, what other people say. It's what God has told us. That's what's important. So then he went on to say in this prophetic word, what is your task more than anything else? In other words, what is the one thing is your main task? It is to open up Shrewsbury to be that sharp end. It's to open it up, to forge a way. Forge. What does that mean, to forge? It means to move forward, to forge. How do we forge spiritually? We forge by praying, by declaring things in the heavenlies, declaring truth. Okay? And that brings breakthrough spiritually. To open it up. You can't open something that's open already. So it's pretty closed in Shrewsbury, basically. It needs opening up. Okay? As I said last week, church-wise, Shrewsbury's a bit like a chocolate bar, each in his own individual corner. But we'll say a bit more about that next time. So it's to open it up, to forge a way. Let the heavens open up over this place. We declare that, yeah?
Amen, yeah.
Don't worry about growth. Don't worry about growth. It's important to grow, but worrying about it doesn't help. People might come and say, oh, you ought to be this, or you should be that. You should be growing, you should be doing this. That may be true, but all we can do is answer to God for what we are doing. There might be 101 things that we could be doing. But, you know, like we can say sometimes, if you concentrate on too many things, you're spreading yourself too thin. You're not being effective in the thing that God has told you to do. So we are aiming to be effective in the thing that God has told us to do, and that is to open up Shrewsbury. And we are going to pray to that effect in future weeks. Okay. This gives us direction. So, John the Baptist is absolutely vital for Jesus. Okay. In the same way, we are absolutely vital for Jesus to open up Shrewsbury. To follow the mandate that he has given us. We're not important. You know, just like John the Baptist said. He was humble, wasn't he? Humility. And John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy to untie his laces with his sandals. But John the Baptist was key to opening up people's hearts to Jesus and the kingdom of God. He was preparing them. And likewise, we are preparing a way, okay, preparing a way for Jesus,
yeah,
for the church, to open up Shrewsbury. Yeah, that's good. Have I missed anything out? So John the Baptist's call was to repentance, and this changed the spiritual atmosphere, I believe, in Judah. There was probably a lot of praying going on at that time. And we want to change the spiritual atmosphere of Shrewsbury and Shropshire, this area, because that is crucial to God's purposes for Shrewsbury. Do we care enough? You know, do we care about the souls of people in this town and in this village? Yeah. So it's important to realise that we are crucial to God's purposes. Isn't that good to know? Amen. So Lord, we thank you that we are crucial to your purposes, Lord. And we're going to continue with this next week, I think, or later week, and because there's more to say about it. But we just ask, Lord, that we take up the baton, if you like, And I pray that you'll speak into this word more. I pray, Lord, that we, as we revisit it in line with your word, you will speak through it more and more, Lord. And I pray you'll give us direction, strategy, as we follow your word, as we follow you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this mandate. Thank you for Shrewsbury. And we pray for direction. Yeah. And it's my belief that as we follow this, and as people can see we've got direction, people will be added to us. People like to know that they're going somewhere. The important thing is to walk with the Lord, isn't it? And we just follow the Lord wherever he's going. Yeah? Great. Right.